Renegade Broadcasting, hard-hitting talk radio. All right, Charlie, had some problems here, but you're on.
Okay, thanks, man. Yeah, I had a little technical difficulty, but it looks like we're all set here. Sorry about a little break yesterday, especially this week, you know. I could have gotten around that, had something to come up. Anyway, we're back on track here. Let's see now. Where the hell are we going to... Oh, before I get into our discussion, I wanted to say thanks again. I got another contribution yesterday. At first, I'm like, what in the heck is this? It was addressed to... I'm trying to think of the name now. I think it was Rivero, Rabbi Rivero. boy. It's been Mike Rivero, apparently. At first I'm like, what? I thought they had the wrong person. And then I realized, oh, this must be from a listener messing with me. I'd been called father, too. Father this, father that, you know. There's another joke because of my expose of La Biblica. Anyway, it was pretty funny. Anyway, let's pick up with our discussion on coups down through the centuries, rigged by the tribe. Since there's only three shows left of the week, I don't know if I'm going to cover every single part of this. I might just breeze through it here. I try not to ramble too much because there's several more things I wanted to talk about. I'll be able to squeeze them all in. Like I said, on Friday, maybe I'll last part of the show. I'll go through a list of some of the stuff that I wanted to talk about and didn't get around to. And if anybody wants, you can just request, you know, the notes that I mentioned that you're interested in. As it turns out, sure enough, ideas are coming at me, stuff I want to look into. I'll probably still be putting notes together for some future time to share. It's an obsession. You can't stop. Too much a part of me. I'll be doing this to my dying day. Always digging, always want more information. Anyway, I'm almost done with the current editing of my book. I'm in the final chapter now. So, like I said, though, I want to do it, you know, at least two more times. So we're probably looking at, you know, the end of next month before it's ready. Maybe even a third time. I don't know. I'll have to see. But, yeah, it's getting better. coming to be more, you know, how I want it. Anyway, moving on here into the 19th century, in 1832, just 3 years after the last mentioned coup, which was in Mexico, there was another such occurrence. Mexican President Anastasio Bustamante was deposed for the first time by Antonio Lopez de Santa Anna and replaced by Melchor Murquiz, or Muzquiz. Muzquiz is probably a Sephardic tribal name, ladies and gentlemen. So, there you go. Oh, the havoc, the devastation they have unleashed. It's incalculable. Everywhere they've gone, all through the ages. You don't have to dig for too long either to see their sleazy hand involved. Every single time, even if there aren't any tribe members directly involved in the actual carrying out of the uprising, dig a little deeper and you'll see, oh yeah, look at that, look where the money came from. Oh, it's like in modern times, guys, the attempts at coups in this country, you know, through like the Occupy movement. Dig a little deeper. Yep, Mr. Soros, every time. You won't be disappointed if you look for those indicators. You'll find them every time. In 1839, Mexican President
I'm tired this morning, don't mind me. Really tired. I didn't get to sleep so late last night. I seem like I'm out of it, because I pretty much am. In 1842, geez, you know, I can remember, I used to go, not a good thing, but I used to go 2 days, sometimes 3 days, with either no sleep or very little sleep. And I functioned pretty good. Back when I used to work third shift years ago. Man, I can't do that anymore. God damn. No. Nope. Age catches up with you. Actually, there's a lot of things I can't do that I used to do. I mentioned, you know, how last week, the first time on the bike in a couple of months, and I was a wreck. My God, man. Every muscle in my legs was giving out. As I walked, I felt my like I was going to fall. I had to hold on to stuff. It took about an hour and a half to recover. I was out yesterday again on the long run. Not so bad this time. But still, I never used to have that. Gee, I could go 6 months, you know, and my body would bounce right back. You can resist it, ignore it all you want, but age comes at you anyway. Even when you do exercise, when you don't, you're setting yourself up, you know, for even more trouble. Your muscles will more readily atrophy if you're not using them, not exercising. Anyway, in 1842... Sephardic tribe member Francisco Morazan, former federal president of Central America, invaded Costa Rica and seized power. Later, however, he was deposed by a popular uprising and was executed. Good job. But here he was, wreaking havoc. down in South America. In 1854, following the plan of Ayutla, Benito Juarez had deposed Santa Anna and installed Juan Alvarez as president of Mexico. Look how many uprisings there were in Mexico, guys. Coups in the 19th century. Tribe was at it again in Mexico. And just so you know, Alvarez is definitely a Sephardic name. But something went wrong over the next 10 years, and the tribe decided that it was time for him to go, perhaps because reforms that granted more rights to tribe members weren't being implemented fast enough. In any case, he got the boot. In 1864, troops of French Emperor Napoleon III invaded Mexico and installed the Habsburg pretender Maximilian as emperor. So, one tribal faction overthrowing another is what that was. Under his watch, an edict of religious tolerance was issued, and he began inviting tribe members to come to Mexico from France, Belgium, Austro-Hungary, and the U.S. and elsewhere. Religious tolerance. Oh my God, man. The classic calling card, guys. Hey, it worked in the U.S. about 100 years ago. Let's try it down here. Establishing a firm footing. Just a few years later, in 1870, Bruno Carranza came to power in Costa Rica. In the coup d'etat of April 27th of that year, which deposed President Jesus Jimenez Zamora. Jesus, or Jesus. Once in power, he enacted laws outlining personal and religious freedoms. Oh, what a familiar pattern. And on whose behalf do you suppose that was done? Indeed, this is what the whole coup was created for in the first place, the so-called Jewish emancipation, ladies and gentlemen. Can you freaking believe this? Even in Costa Rica, we talked before about how this was going on all across Europe, in one European country after another, all during the 19th century. Here it was in Costa Rica. The same freaking thing, Jewish emancipation. Jesus H. Blankety blanking. This is all they're doing. All of this. Amazes me, guys. All the studying of history I've done, I just absolutely, it's so disgusting when you see what they've gotten away with, and yet they're still getting away with it. It would be bad enough if we were faced with this ugly history and that it was just that history. That would be bad enough. I can't believe they got away with this for so long, but at least now they've been put in their place once and for all, and we don't have to worry about these SOBs anymore. Oh, No. That's not the case at all, is it? We not only are faced with this ugly history, to see their shenanigans, how they've gotten away with them in country after country, age after age, century after century, millennia after millennia, but they're still freaking doing it and getting away with it. And you can't even wake up the slumbering mess, for the most part. Sound asleep and will get ragingly ticked off at you if you try to wake them up. In 1874, Arsenio Martinez Campos overthrew the first Spanish Republic and installed Alfonso XII as king. The chaos unleashed by this coup was only the beginning of sorrows for Spain at this time. Soon, the first Spanish Republic, 1873-74, came immediately under siege from all quarters. You know, they really don't even care if the damn coup turns out exactly the way they wanted. They certainly prefer that it does. But even if it doesn't, they don't care, guys. It's the whole idea of destabilization that they're really after. Just like, you know, the tensions over with Russia right now, a lot of people think, oh my God, we could possibly go to war with Russia. Don't think for 1 minute that there's any legitimacy to any of it. Oh, we might have a war. That's the legitimate part of it. But there's no legitimate animosity between Washington and Wall Street. There wasn't all during the Cold War, and there isn't today either, I hate to tell you. It's all staged just for the masses on both sides of the issue, both sides of the Atlantic. It's just for the swelling masses that they're hoping to sucker into fighting a war. That's all it ever is, isn't it? Anyway, the Carlists were the most immediate threat at this time, launching a violent insurrection after their poor showing in the 1872 elections. Insurrection. There were calls for socialist revolution from the International Working Men's Association. Oh, Jesus. Again, classic fingerprints of the tribe there. There were also calls for revolts and unrest. In fact, there were outbreaks of revolts, local revolts and unrest. In the autonomous regions of Navarre and Catalonia. Chaos, guys. Chaos. Like I said, they don't even care what the outcome is. They're always going to rig it to their favor one way or another. It might not be exactly the way they planned it, but it doesn't matter. It's the chaos that they're after. Regardless exactly how the outcome turns out. Sometimes it even surprises them, but it doesn't matter. They always work it in their favor. All they're really after is just chaos. Destabilize society, that's it. Once it's destabilized, you can pretty much arrange it to turn out any way you want, even though it might not be what you had in mind from the start. The chaos is all they're after. The more people, you know, rise up and loot and riot, the better. Doesn't matter how many people die, that's of absolutely no consequence to them. The more, the better. Anyway. In 1876, Anicito Esquivel Sáenz was president of Costa Rica for a brief period of 3 months before being deposed in a coup d'etat led by Vicente Herrera Zeledon. Zeledon, ladies and gentlemen, is as tribal as you get. Look at this. Look at this. Look at the chaos. Here we go again in Costa Rica in the 19th century. Mexico and Costa Rica. probably more than any other country during this century, had multiple uprisings, absolute mayhem. And look who was behind it every time. In 1876, following the plan of Tuxtepec, Porfirio Diaz overthrew Sebastian Lerdo de Tejada. I'm sure I'm crucifying some of these names. And installed himself as president of Mexico. Look at this again, guys. Diaz unquestionably was indeed Spartan. Frickin' Jew. Look at this guy. In 1889, a military coup led by Marshal Deodoro da Fonseca deposed the Brazilian Emperor Dom Pedro II. He then declared or proclaimed a republic and installed a provisional government. So Brazil had its share of troubles at this time. No surprise, De Fonseca was a high-ranking Freemason and was probably a Sephardic as well. When you have Freemasonry pulling strings, guys, you do have the tribe. They don't have to have Bergenstein at the end of their last names. That's as tribal as you can get. So look at this. Look at this. When you step back and look at the big picture, holy Jesus, mother flipping. It's scary how easily the masses are manipulated, guys. Again, like our discussion last week about parasites, isn't it? The wasp that hijacks the cockroach by injecting a toxin in its brain so it can't think or act independently anymore. It just becomes the mindless drone of the parasite to direct it to do whatever it wants for the duration of its pathetic shell of a life that it has left until it gets the juices sucked out of it. The parallels are striking. This is all this parasite has ever done, ladies and gentlemen, to humanity. It's all it's doing now. Like that wasp, it's injected its toxin and it's ready to suck what little juices left we have. And there's the cockroach, benumbed by the brain toxins. But in this case, in this illustration, the wasp doesn't have to inject the toxins because the cockroach of society willfully takes the toxins, loves the toxins. I'm not just talking pharmaceuticals. I'm talking about watching the evening news every night. Those are more neurotoxins right there that neutralize the brain. These drones love it. Oh, you don't have to inject my brain. I will willfully take that stuff. I like it. I like the artificial state of euphoria it puts me in. Here I am now. Use me at your will, at your beckon. Here I am at your beck and call. Wow, man. In 1899, Cipriano Castro's army is a familiar name, definitely Sephardic. He had overthrown the government of Ignacio Andrade in Venezuela. Though no relation to Fidel Castro, Cipriano was, nevertheless, a Jew. Direct descendants, these people, by the way, most of them, of the conquistadors, who originated at the time in Cuba. Is where, just like with Jamaica, a lot of the expelled Sephardics from Spain in 1492 wound up going. They settled there en masse, and then later when the conquistadors came over, they were comprised mostly of people from there. They didn't turn to piracy. Hijacking ships on the high seas, they came over here and committed land piracy, if you will. Oh, and the stuff they did, guys. I did a show on that a while back. Just unspeakable horrors, man. Which, again, blows my mind that some of the most loyal Catholics, of course, what they did was in the name of the Catholic Church. But it was really the tribe that did it. But nevertheless, Catholic Church is the tribe, really. But my point is, you won't find more obnoxious, die-hard, loyal Catholics in the world than in Latin American countries. They love their Catholic Church. They'll die for Holy Mother Church. And yet, when you realize the horrors that were committed against their ancestors in those countries by that abomination, I just absolutely marvel at the mindlessness of it all. The religion's a fraud anyway, aside from that ugly history. But when you look at that ugly history, these people raped your great-great-great-great frickin' grandmother, man, in front of your great-great-great-great-grandfather. Then they murdered your great-great-great-great-grandfather in front of your great-great-great-great-grandmother and either kept her as a sex slave or, if she put up too much resistance, cut her breasts off and watch her bleed to death. All in the name of Holy Mother Church that you love so much today down in those Latin American countries. I don't know, man. I don't know. I just don't know. All right, guys, short break. Be right back.
You're not always at your computer, but that doesn't mean you need to stop listening to Renegade Broadcasting. A good way to catch our shows while you're on the go is by finding us on TuneIn Radio. There is an app for your iPhone or Android, TuneIn.com. There are also plenty of other ways to access the 24/7 stream right on the homepage at RenegadeBroadcasting.com. And that first button underneath the player is a direct link to our page on TuneIn Radio. Please remember to follow us and share with your friends.
right, guys, welcome back. You're going to love this one. In 1903, the Judeo-Masonic Black Hand, branch of Freemasonry. Just look at the title of that order, branch of Freemasonry, Black Hand. The hand there is the famous hidden hand in Freemasonry. You know that little hand gesture that they do? You see it all the time. On the covers of magazines, Pat Robertson has been seen making that gesture where you tuck your hand behind your the front of your jacket, you know, your suit jacket. You have your hand tucked in behind. Very famous Masonic hand gesture. Goes back centuries on end. A lot of royalty in the Middle Ages were seen making that same gesture. And they're telling you that, you know, they're part of the Brotherhood, who secretly behind the scenes are pulling the strings and sheep herding the masses over the edge of the cliff without them even realizing it. But when they have a name, Black Hand, what they're telling you is, yeah, we're that hidden hand, but we're a very dark force. A hidden black dark force. Anyway, in 1903, the Black Hand, composed of military officers and led by Colonel Dragutin Dmitrijevich Apis, interesting name, they wound up killing Alexander I of Serbia in a coup d'etat called Majski Prevrat, which means May Overthrow. This is, of course, the same group, the Black Hand, that assassinated Francis Ferdinand, you know, a decade or so later, a little over a decade later, which spawned the tribal rig First World War, the Black Hand. Again, just look at all the havoc they wreak. Looks like we got a caller on the line here. Welcome to the show, caller.
Hello, Charles. Good to hear you here again as I wake up to another day in Yahweh's neighborhood. I heard you mention your working title of your book in progress as being What's Wrong with the Bible. Is that correct?
Yeah, I don't know. I was hoping to come up with something more profound, but I'm not even looking for a new title right now, because that seems to really say what the book is about. What's wrong with it?
Yeah, if your intention is, as it I think should be, is to get Bible dupes into those pages, that might work pretty well. I was kind of hoping for Notes of a Yahweh Slayer myself.
Yeah, right.
Maybe that'll be the sequel. Or when you write about your personal memoirs, Memoirs of a Yahweh Slayer.
Yeah.
That right there really might pique some interest. I mean, seriously, feel free to consider it.
I told you I got a t-shirt, right? A listener had sent me a while back, Yahweh Slayer. It's pretty funny.
Really? When did this happen?
Oh, I don't know, about a year ago. I had a listener send me, she makes t-shirts, so she says, hey, you want me
to... That's interesting, because I was under the, what might be now a delusion that I came up with that for you, but maybe he heard me say it, or maybe he came up with that prior to me dubbing you that. But either way, whoever came up with it, you have done a great service to humanity, being the great Yahweh Slayer. I just want to thank you again for all the fantastic shows. You know, I'm home from work today. I'll probably be working Thursday and Friday, so I did want to call in today to just to thank you again for all the fantastic programs.
Yeah, hopefully I'll be back up at some point not too long from now. Kyle was telling me that Monday night slot is open, so that's probably something I'll I'll wind up doing eventually.
It would be greatly appreciated if you could continue in any capacity, you know, of course. But I was just wondering if I could throw out one last question about your book. I'm pretty excited about it. Will there be any personal memoirs, such as you have interjected in your programs, you know, detailing some of your own experiences with the fraud of institutional Christianity?
Yeah, I was thinking of that. I still haven't done it yet, although I'm considering a conclusion at the end where I might get into that. Generally, when I write, I try to, I don't even speak in the first person ever. I always try to make it just fact after fact after fact, you know.
Maybe that could be a separate, you know, just throwing out an idea. I know there's nothing more annoying than other people telling you what you could do, but it's just a potential consideration or thought I'm putting out here. Maybe that could be like a short sequel or something. Because I do find those stories quite interesting myself.
Yeah, Bible dupes really don't think it's possible that once you've known Jesus that you can actually... The first thing they'll say, I've heard it so many times, you never really knew Jesus. They have to say that because they just can't reconcile in their mind. Oh, they can fathom people who were down in the dumps, the dregs of society, you know... belonged to a bike gang and killed people or drug dealer or whatever, you know what I mean, and came to Jesus. That they can fathom. Oh, yes, that's a wonderful story. But not in the reverse. Nope, they just can't. Well, in the reverse.
Yeah.
Not and there's a, drug dealing, but you know what I'm saying.
There's a limitless number of equally obnoxious variations on that theme also, such as... you know, the ridiculous, if a man has as much faith as a mustard seed, he could build a mountain to jump into a lake or whatever. And then you'll point out to a Bible dupe something like, well, what about those parents who wouldn't send their kids to the doctor when they were sick?
Yeah.
Isn't that faith of a mustard seed? I mean, come on, they're putting their kids, oh, well, no, they must not have had any faith. Well, the proof is in the pudding. They had the faith, and the kid died. Oh, yeah. No, they didn't really have the faith. It's just
they must have been harboring a secret sin. Now they're going to add insult to injury on top of it all. Yeah.
Right. By the way,
in mind of the Bible, do I might as well become a biker and get involved in drug dealing and whatnot. Because once you leave Jesus, in their mind, you are just as evil. It doesn't matter that you're every bit as much the moral person you were before. You can't be moral in their eyes because you're not connected with the great Jesus anymore. In fact, you're more evil than the biker who's into drug dealing or whatever, you know. You're more evil in their estimation because now you're against the great, holy, righteous Oz pulling the strings behind the curtain there, the fire-breathing dragon. To speak against him makes you more evil. Can you imagine?
It
doesn't matter that you're speaking against him because he is, in fact, evil, and you're opposed to him because of his evil filth. No. You are evil because you speak against him. Oh, they're absolutely stock-raving mad. They really are.
They really are. And, you know, I've come to the unpleasant realization that, you know, when you look at everything in nature, whether it's claws or sharp teeth, these are all protection mechanisms. And the human brain coming to realize our own mortality with some of these lesser people, it becomes like a delusionary thought shell of some kind. In other words, all of these delusions and false beliefs are a self-protection mechanism for a person who's so weak to just accept the fact that we're going to die. And that's the best explanation because that fully explains why they attack whenever you try to tell them the truth or point out even facts that go contrary to their beliefs. They are instinctually attacking without thinking first, because that's what it is. All of their beliefs and delusions are simply like a, you know, like an armadillo shell or a tiger's claws. They're just self-protection mechanisms,
yeah.
Period.
And but, they really resort to little crybaby tactics, throwing a temper tantrum, and oh, they'll get vicious. They'll attack you in ways you wouldn't even have fathomed before. And in their mind, they're not doing anything wrong. They're doing something good. They're fighting against the enemy for Jesus. Even though they're colossal hypocrites in what they're doing. What's that?
Could it be Satan?
Yeah, the church lady.
Exactly what it is. Well, you know, that's absolutely what it is. And then I've also had the unpleasantry of, you know, talking to a Bible dupe, sharing some facts, you know, trying to be a teller of truth. And even when they're sitting there and just kind of quiet and their eyes are kind of shifting back and forth and you think maybe they're absorbing this, maybe it's doing them some good. What I've noticed happen later is they're just storing that, and then later it's like the hatred and the attack comes out towards you. You know, it's like they've been just storing it quietly, waiting for an opportunity then to destroy you.
Yep.
For attempting to, and you know, you're really trying to help them out, especially when you see them giving over their hard-earned money to their church or something. You know, you're really trying to just help them out. There's nothing malicious about it. You know you're taking a risk. You know you're not going to get any kind of,
you know,
you're not going to get any monetary reward. No one's going to fall in love with you. You're really just taking a huge risk, you know, financially, professionally, even sharing this data. And there's no realization of that on their part whatsoever.
It's like that psychopathic ex-wife from hell who now becomes your mortal enemy, and you wonder, where in the hell is this coming from? This is the woman I loved and thought loved me all these years. Now she's become this raging psycho wretch. She has to attack you and demonize you so she feels good about herself leaving you and makes herself look good. You see my point? The same with the Bible do. Once you see the fraud that it is, now they'll attack you and become the most vicious enemy and say the most horrific things about you so that you look bad and their religion thus looks good. And they look good. They feel good about themselves now. The more they cut you down, the better they feel, the better their religion looks. They're absolute, for the most part, scum.
And you would think that, you would think at the very least something like this would occur in their minds. Well, you know, I think so, you know, Charlie or, you know, whoever is wrong in telling me this, but I could see that they're just trying to share what they think is the truth, and, you know, there'd be some empathy in that regard, but
there isn't none.
It's unbelievable, and I just... When I think of a way, if ever, around this problem, I'll share it. But, you know, it's frustrating talking to the very energetic, optimistic truth tellers about this because in many cases we're literally twice their ages. So we're talking about here decades of experience now. That can't be just waved away, you know.
Yeah.
It's very hard... Hard lessons under our belts here. But anyway, you know, don't want to rant on here too long. I just want to do basically say thanks for all the shows. If I don't get a chance to call in later this week on your last full week, at least for a while. And again, I will be looking forward to that book, and I will be sharing it with some Bible dupes. Be sure of that. All right, you take care, Charles.
All right, thanks, man. Appreciate it.
Yeah, bye.
Yeah, guys, like I said, it is something you want to share with Bible dupes, hoping it'll wake them up, but do prepare yourself for the grand disappointment. Most of the time, it's going to go wee right over their heads. You're lucky if 1 in 100 will actually even look at it. And then out of them... one in 100 who will actually say, holy mother of Jesus Christ. You're right. You're right. This thing is horrible. I can't believe this book is a disaster. I had no idea. Very, very, very rarely will you ever get that. Most people who read books like this are ones who either already have their doubts about the whole friggin' mess or were never lured into it in the first place, you know, and may not have had doubts about it, but it wasn't a big deal for them, so it's not any problem for them to now admit that it's a fraud. Yeah, I never was big on that. You know what I'm saying? It's sad. Sad. The very ones that need to be reached, the ones that are hijacked by it and have become hosts to that parasite called Yahweh, are the very ones who most of the time are not even going to take a look at it. I shared it with someone last week, guys, who admitted that after reading the introduction, you know, that's it, he's done, he's not going to read anymore. What a cop-out. What a cop-out. They don't want the truth, guys. They want the truth to be what they have always been told it is. And when evidence comes along to show, hey, buddy, what you're believing to be the truth actually isn't the truth after all. No, no. It's time for a 180. I don't want to hear it. And that's just so pathetic, isn't it? It shows just how disingenuous this religion makes you. How phony it makes you. You would rather live a lie, live in a fantasy world, than face reality. Hey, it's not a pleasant one to find out you don't have a sky fairy that's looking out for you and you can rub your genie lamp at any given moment and have the genie pop out and do your bidding. Yeah, but that is reality. I'll take reality any day over a little frickin' fantasy world. You want fantasy? Turn your TV set on. Or pick up a Bible. But if you want the real world, you got to toss those things aside. Bible, if you're going to read it, it should only be read to expose it for the fraud that it is, or if you just want some entertainment, like you would watch a fantasy fiction movie or something, action flick or whatever, you know, just for sheer entertainment, because it is quite entertaining. You know, Balaam's Talking Donkey, for example, I love that one. That's very comedic. Good comedy material there. That's a good reason to read the book. You want a good smut novel, if you get off on that kind of thing, well, there's plenty of that in there too. All kinds of vulgar filth, sexually oriented garbage, and that piece of crap that it's amazing, man. Parents who won't let their kids watch R-rated movies, and that's fine, I don't blame them, but then they'll turn around and hand them that book. Yeah, well, that makes a lot of sense. Anyway, back to our notes. In 1908, the tribe rigged Young Turk Revolution broke out in the Ottoman Empire against the absolute rule of Sultan Abdul Hamid II. This was their long-sought-after move to take down the Ottoman Empire. Had long wanted that out of the way. Totally tribe rigged. The Young Turks, guys, replaced that word with Jews, because that's all it was. The whole thing. Did a show on that a while back. In 1909, the Goudi coup in Greece. Now, you know, in 1908, that didn't lead to the end of the Ottoman Empire, but that was the early stages of it. Destabilizing it, ultimately by the end of World War I, that was the end. In 1909, the Goudi coup in Greece overthrew the Dimitrios Raleigh's government and called for wide-ranging reforms. This coup was heavily inspired by Judeo-Marxist socialists, of course. There was so much turmoil in Greece, in fact, at that time, that ultimately that's how my grandfather wound up coming over here. He was born in Mytilene, the island of Lesbos, interestingly enough, where we get lesbian from. I don't know why the hell he would have wanted to leave that place, but but anyway, he came over about that time. It was 1912. Anyway, but they came over, you know, his family came over here as political refugees to, you know, get away from all the chaos that was unleashed at this time from this tribal rigged frickin' coup in Greece. They weren't alone. There were a lot of Greek families that came over here at that time. In 1910, a Republican coup d'etat deposed King Manuel II of Portugal, who had established the Portuguese First Republic. Anyway, this coup was masterminded by the Freemasonic conspiratorial group called the Carbonaria. There's the hand once again, guys. Now, there's people out there who, well, like Mr. Ralph Epperson, for example, who has spent a lot of time, you know, researching and documenting Freemasonry rigged coups and uprisings and revolutions, you know. But he'll never point out that the tribe is behind Freemasonry. I couldn't believe it years ago when I had that monkey on my show one time. And he got absolutely livid when I mentioned the Jew factor. It's not the Jews, it's the Freemasons! Wow. He was so mad, he actually hung up on me in the middle of the conversation. Oh, he had to defend his tribe. That's his bread and butter. He's made quite a lucrative business out of his Salem Communications, a Zio-Christian it's a publisher, but it's also a telecommunications network. That him and his brother run. It's a multi-million dollar industry. That man has lived quite the cozy life. I don't even know if he's still around now. He was pretty old back then. But in any case, he's the only guest I've ever had on all the years of doing radio, you know, over 10 years now. The only one ever who hung up on me in the middle of an interview, in the middle of a show. Hung up. I couldn't believe it. I tried to contact him after the show. Nope, he was supposed to come on. That was on a Friday. He was supposed to be on the following Monday. This was Oracle. And he never came back. What a pussy. You know, ordinarily I wouldn't say something like that about a senior citizen. You know, I was always taught to respect your elders. And, you know, I do for the most part, but not elders like that. There are some elders, folks, I don't care how old they are, they're not worthy of respect. They've been pieces of crap all their lives, been sellout scam artists, lying to people, pretending to tell the truth, but upon close inspection you realize, oh no, they're nothing but gatekeepers. He doesn't deserve respect. He's a piece of crap, guys. Piece of crap. Oh, but boy, did he have me taken in. I loved his book, The Unseen Hand. To me, it was one of the great classic works on the New World Order, you know. And he turned out to be a complete frickin' fraud, defending the very ones at the top rungs of the ladder who have been pushing for world government. Something his book is supposed to be exposing. You see, once again, they don't care if you expose the conspiracy for world government. They really don't. As long as you're not pointing a finger at the ones actually behind it at the highest levels. In 1913, a military coup occurred in the Ottoman Empire. There they were again, guys, wreaking havoc with the Ottomans. This was led by Enver Pasha. Pasha. Get any more obvious than that? He was from the Committee of Union and Progress, which overthrew the Liberal Union Coalition and introduced a military dictatorship led by the three Pashas, him and his two brothers. Oh my God. The whole takedown of the Ottoman Empire unquestionably had tribe written all over it. The Young Turks, Jewish creation, no question about it. If you missed that show, drop me an email, I'll send you the notes of that. And the three Pashas were undoubtedly tribe members themselves. Look at that name, guys. Anyway, one of the brothers, Talat, that's a tribe name too, tribal first name, in his early adult life had worked after hours as a Turkish language teacher in the Alliance Israelite School, which served the Jewish community of Edirne. So there you go. Oh, guys, I'm telling you, there's no exception. Every freaking time there they are, every time. All right, guys, let's take a short break.
Hearing all about Jews and their beloved Israel. This is America.
Hey, don't say that. Jews do so much for us and deserve our thanks.
Okay, so what do they do?
Although they are only 2% of the population, they are running our banks and overall monetary system, ensuring our children receive proper education and medication, entertaining us with TV, movies, magazines, and gossip, running some of our biggest corporations, including the big tech giants, weeding out awful hate speech, and promoting the rainbow of alternative lifestyles and gender identities, and funding the campaigns of our honorable and honest politicians.
Wow, they sure do a lot.
That's right. Don't be an anti-Semite. Let the chosen rulers of this world know you appreciate them.
Thanks, Jews!
not enough.
You're listening to Renegade Broadcasting.
One hand, I want to get through these notes and get into some other topics, but at the same time, I don't want to skip any of this either. So much crap was going on here. This same Pasha character, it turns out, had a love affair with the daughter of one of the Jewish headmasters that he worked under there at the school. In this same year, 1913, during La Decena Tragica, as it was called, General Victoriano Huerta overthrew and murdered the president of Mexico, Francisco Madero. So troubles in Mexico continued on right into the 20th century, all during the 19th and continuing on into the 20th century. Interestingly, both Huerta and Madero were Sephardic Jews. So, apparently there was some dissension in the ranks. Oh, that happens. Always has happened down to the centuries. You can find it right in the pages of the Not-So-Holy Book. One tribe member turning against each other. Which is why I said, if it ever turned out that the Goyim woke up and put a stop to their shenanigans and banished them all to a deserted island, they would have no choice, guys, but to parasite off of one another until they ultimately killed each other all off. That's what they would do. They have never, ever been ones to work for a living and enjoy the fruits of their labors. No, they parasite off of others and enjoy the fruits of other people's labors. That's all they've ever done. So if forced on a deserted island where they have to scrape and scratch and scrounge for themselves, they won't do it. They would try to get each other to scrape and scrounge for them, and in the process, that they would ultimately kill all of each other. They would. Amongst other things, they're absolutely useless tits on a bull. They're lazy. They don't work, they don't want to work, they don't know how to work. They only know how to parasite, like that friggin' wasp. That wasp doesn't raise its own, it gets the drone zombified cockroach to raise its offspring on its behalf. In August of 1917, the Russian commander-in-chief, General Lever Kormilov, attempted a putsch, which was rapidly defeated. Kormilov was, of course, a high-ranking Freemason and undoubtedly a crypto. This was just before the October Revolution, guys. This was yet another attempt by the tribe to overthrow the Russian government. In 1920,
in the plan of Agua Prieta, General Alvaro Obregón, backed by labor unions and Zapatistas, ousted Mexican President Venustiano Carranza. One person who was most instrumental in assisting Obregón with his little coup was Freemason Plutarco Elias Calles, who was rewarded for his help by being appointed as Obregón's head of the Interior Ministry. Doesn't that sound familiar? In other words, he was put in charge of internal security and intelligence gathering. He later became president himself in 1924. Jesus. In 1922, following the defeat in the Asia Minor campaign, then a Celeste Army officers, chief amongst them Nicholas Plasteras and Strelianos Gonotas, led the Greek army in revolt against the royal government and forced the renewed abdication of King Constantine I of Greece. So here we had again, guys, more chaos being unleashed in Greece. For over a decade, this had been going on. They were at it in Greece again. Just look at how many coups they were orchestrating. All back to back, you know, all around the world at the same time. In the meantime, over in Italy, between October 27th and 29th of 1922, the March on Rome by the Black Shirts led to the installation of Benito Mussolini of the National Fascist Party as Prime Minister of the Kingdom of Italy, supported by King Victor Emmanuel III. After the election of 1924 and the assassination of Giacomo Matteotti, Mussolini established a dictatorship on January 3rd, 1925. One of the key players in Mussolini's black shirts was Lucio Gelli, a high-ranking, outrageously corrupt Freemason and probably a crypto. In fact, he was a Jewish-Italian financier. Yeah, there you go. Yep. And of course, under Mussolini, amongst other things, you had the reinstatement of the Papal States, because by that time they figured, okay, it looks like we taught you guys a good lesson. You're willing, I'm sure there was some wheeling and dealing that went on behind the scenes. You're willing now to admit your defeat, that we're the superior power now, we, the Masonic overlords, you know, the third faction. So we'll let you be reinstated. We'll let the Papal States be reinstated and regain their independence. But you'd better keep in line. Apparently, they weren't keeping in line, or at least not enough to their liking, which is why by 1965 or so, Vatican II, the Vatican had become completely infiltrated by Freemasons. Or maybe they didn't do anything to warrant that, but they did it anyway just to ensure that they would never become a problem for them again. But in any case, under Mussolini is when the Concordat was signed and the Vatican States were restored, having been stripped of their power since 1870. In And a lot of the reason for that was because of that obnoxious SOB, Pius the Ninth. That power-hungry, tyrannical little scumbag. In 1923, in Bulgaria, a military-backed June 9th coup overthrew the Bulgarian Agrarian National Union of Alexander Stamboliski, installing another one headed by Alexander Eisenkopf, or Zankov. Zankov, as it turns out, was opposed to Jewish/communist domination. But, as you might guess, he ultimately failed in his efforts later on, and I do go into that in these notes. I probably will get to it. It looks like I only have a few pages left, so I'll finish this today. In 1926, Josef Piłsudski staged a military coup in Poland. Piłsudski had a very close relationship with the Jews of Poland and probably was a tribe member himself. On May 28th of that same year, another military coup was orchestrated by Gomes da Costa in Portugal. Jeez. Da Costa, surprise of all surprises, was Sephardic. In 1926, a Lithuanian coup was launched by Altanas Smetona in Lithuania. So friendly was he with the Lithuanian Jewish community that he has been called the King of the Jews and may have actually been one himself. In fact, I'd say you have to be a Jew to be given that kind of title by Jews. I'm not going to give that to a goy, no matter how much they lick their hind parts. In 1930, a Brazilian revolution took place. Notice, again, Brazil, guys, they keep returning to these same countries. But things didn't work out quite so well the first time. We've got to stage another one. This was orchestrated at the hand of Getulio Vargas, who seized power in a bloodless coup. If not a Jew himself, Vargas was certainly guided by them every step of the way, you can bet, as was the case several decades earlier when such a thing broke out there as well. On September 29th, 1937, General Eurico Dutra, this individual's rightist collaborator, presented the Cohen Plan, which established a detailed scheme for a communist revolution. So you can see they had their hands deep in the pie over there. So this earlier coup in 1930 had to be tribal break 7 years earlier. And like I said, guys, it's freaking amazing. You can look at this history and clearly see their hand in all of this. And yet, you know, look at today, guys. That is my next project, by the way. Again, I don't know when time is going to permit. So much else going on right now. But before I check out of this freaking circus ride called Planet Earth, one of my goals in life is to write a book on the history of the tribe's crimes, and it's going to include, you know, this stuff here, obviously. All of their revolutions, their coups, their uprisings, all of their shenanigans. I'm going to go right back to ancient Egypt, guys, with the Hyksos and carry it right on up into modern times. A lot of it, unfortunately, I'm going to have to give very brief coverage too, because space won't allow too much elaboration on it, you know. But I do want to give an overall blanket coverage. It's going to be loaded with quotes from not only tribe members themselves, but goy, observant goy down through the ages, who have seen through their shenanigans and spoken out about them. There's going to be no way for anybody who reads that book to walk away and not see who the troublemakers have been. There's going to be no way. As far as I know, nothing like this has ever been done before. Oh, there's been great books written about tribal crimes, but not going back to the beginning and taking it right on up into modern times, quoting from the horse's mouth itself with a boast that they are indeed behind all our wars, and then documenting, showing that, yes, they have been. So, that's probably not for another year or two. I've had that on the back burner for a while, just never got around to it, but that is going to be, it's more now in my field of view now that, the Bible book is nearing completion. That is going to be my next project. That's going to be a much bigger project. I mean, that's not going to be just 500 pages long. It's going to be much more extensive. It's going to be a challenge, to try to keep it in one volume. But that's got to be done. Anyway, in 1936, Ioannis Metaxas had launched a successful coup in Greece again. Look at this, guys. Another coup in Greece. This individual, no surprise, was a high-ranking Freemason, of course. In 1941, Rashid Ali El-Gailani and his Masonic Brigade, the Golden Square, overthrew the regime of Abdelia. Oh, another coup in the Arab world. In 1947, a Judeo-communist coup took place in Romania, forcing King Michael to abdicate and to leave the country. The new Romanian government became very cozy with the infant state of Israel the following year, allowing 4,000 Jewish Romanians per month to emigrate to Israel. Jesus Christ. I'll argue that that's probably one of the main reasons for the coup. There were a lot of Jews there, and they wanted to sprout wings and go to the illegitimate homeland, as they call it. So orchestrated a coup there, a Jew coup. Choo-choo, cuckoo, choo-choo, cuckoo. And so there they go. In thankfulness, Israel gave Romania oil drills and pipes to help boost their faltering oil industry. Kissy-kissy back and forth. 1948. A Judeo-communist coup took place in Czechoslovakia. In 1949, a military coup took place in Syria by U.S.-backed General Husni al-Zayim, which overthrew elected President Shukri I'm not even going to try to pronounce that one. Kuwatli, I guess, which allowed passage of the Trans-Arabian Pipeline. And we know what U.S.-backed means, don't we? On July 23rd, 1952, a military coup occurred in Egypt, which overthrew the monarchy. This just had to be Jew-rigged, folks, as Egypt was one of Israel's main enemies at the time. You had things like the Levant Affair going on at this time. You had the, and I don't even know if that's in these notes. Let me skip down here. Has to be. Yeah. The Iranian coup of 1953. We'll get to that in a minute. Interestingly, just 6 months prior to this coup, the famous Cairo fire took place in January, on January 26th, that same year. Oh, my God. Remember the show I did, guys, on the great fires down through the centuries? One major fire after another after another. And upon close inspection, Santa Maria. They were behind every freaking one of them. So here we have this, too. The fire to, you know, to destabilize and set the pace for the later planned coup. Just like, you know, in 17th century England, guys, when you had the British Revolution, the British Civil War, what did you have going on at the same time? The Great Fire of London. There were several great fires. There were also several plagues that were unleashed at that same time. Jeez. Oh, it's all coincidental, of course. The Cairo fire involved the burning and looting of some 750 buildings, retail shops, cafes, cinemas, hotels, restaurants, theaters, nightclubs, and the country's opera house. This was all designed to destroy their culture, guys, as well as their economy. This massive fire was designed by the tribe for those reasons. Destroy the economy, destroy their business epicenter, destroy their culture. As the burning and looting ensued, there was a strange, unexplained absence of security forces to bring back law and order. Oh, they had this all rigged ahead of time, didn't they? The perpetrators of this incident remain unknown to this day as far as the history books go. But I think we can figure out who exactly was behind it all, can't we? In 1953, here it is, a joint U.S./UK Jew orchestrated, as always, coup transpired in Iran, codenamed Operation Ajax, which resulted in the overthrow, the ousting of Prime Minister Mohammad Mossadegh. Guys, there are pictures of protest march rallies that went on, you know, against Mossadegh. You can actually see people like frickin' Alan Dulles, for God's sakes, in the crowd marching. You gotta be kidding me. Anyway, in 1954, in Guatemala, the democratically elected government of Colonel Jacobo Arbenz Guzman was ousted by Colonel Carlos Castillo Armas in an operation organized by the CIA, codenamed Operation PB Success. And on whose behalf was this enterprise launched? United Fruit Company, of course, which was run at the time by the Jew Sam Zemure, who was good friends with the Dulles brothers. They wanted the coup because at the time Guatemala was pressuring them to pay their fair share of taxes. They had no intention of doing that, so they called on their buddies at the CIA. Hey, can you orchestrate a coup or maybe get the military down here, whatever, blah, blah, blah. Unbelievable, man. In 1963, a military coup took place in South Vietnam, which overthrew Diem with Jew-controlled U.S. support, of course. There was also another military coup in Syria during this same year, obviously tribal rigged as well. And a lot of shenanigans like this is what led, of course, to the, you know, the, was it the 7 day war there of, part of which was, you know, the USS Liberty. Anyway, in yeah, what was that? 1967, and then it was a year later to the day that they popped off RFK. Six-Day War was called, wasn't it? Yeah, the Six-Day War. Anyway. In 1966, yet another coup occurred in Syria. Just look at how much havoc that, you know, they unleashed on this country over the years. To this day, guys, Syria is still their target. They've been at it for decades. They've never been able to fully get control of that country. But now, with help from their buddies at the CIA, with their little ISIS creation, it looks like they're... well, it's not all hunky-dory. Like I said, guys, under the current El Capitan over there in Washington, we might see a war with Syria. It might expand over into Russia, too. We're going to see a war under him, I'm telling you now. I guarantee it. And as always, the primary beneficiaries, perhaps the sole beneficiaries, will be Israel, as always. Anyway, in let's see here. Divine direction of Mr. Henry Kissinger, of course, there was the constitutional coup, as it's called, to prevent Salvador Allende from assuming power in Chile. Another tribal orchestrated coup, ladies and gentlemen. Mr. Kissinger, one of many of his crimes. All right, guys, on the break. Be right back.
I've always believed that Britain is a country of migrants. I'm Jewish. Some of my family came in the late 19th century. I'm Sephardi on my mother's side.
The Liberal Democrats will always stand up for a Britain that is open, tolerant and diverse. And in that spirit, I very much welcome the Jewish European Election Manifesto, calling for a strengthening of EU hate crime legislation. As a party, we wholeheartedly value the relationship we have with the Jewish community, both in Britain and internationally.
right, guys, welcome back. I said 1972. It was actually 1973, the coup in Chile. Kissinger rigged coup. And in that same year, the Attuck conspiracy took place in Pakistan, whereby a handful of Army and Air Force officers plotted unsuccessfully to overthrow the government of Zulfikar Ali Bhutto. Bhutto, who later was killed, and of course, decades after that, his daughter was killed as well. Tribes, freaking fingerprints all over both of those assassinations. Ay. There's no end to it all. In his book, I Am Assassinated, written from his prison cell, Bhutto later revealed how Henry Kissinger had thusly threatened him in 1976. He said, "We can destabilize your government and make a horrible example out of you. You will pay a heavy price if you continue your nuclear program." Unbelievable. Only we're allowed to have a nuclear program. Well, we, whatever the we means. The U.S. is only allowed to have an open nuclear program. Israel is only allowed to have a clandestine nuclear program. The only country in the world, guys, that has consistently refused to disclose its nuclear program and gotten away with it every time. To this day, nobody knows. There's no accounting. Nobody knows what they have, how much they have. Not publicly, anyway. Ah. 2007 is when his daughter was murdered. I remember that, December 27th. So later this year, it'll be 10 years ago. Ah, I can't believe that's 10 years ago already. Gee. On September 11th, interesting date of 1973, is when the Chile thing took place, you know, else. The ousting of Salvador Allende. September 11th was the date for that one. Very interesting. Anyway, I think we have a caller on the line here. Let's see. Are you there, caller?
Hey, Charlie.
Oh, hey, what's happening?
Yeah, man, isn't it something about Israel's clandestine program at the Dimona facility? It's estimated that they have 300 to 600 nuclear weapons. And, you know, so here is this clandestine program that everybody knows exists. But yet a country wants to develop a nuclear program, even for peaceful means, like Iran. And we're all over them, sanctioning them, you know, starving their people, murdering their top scientists, you name it, you know.
Yeah.
And then with the Israelis, the Germans sold them some of their smaller submarines that are capable of carrying nuclear loads. So.
And, of course, that's a lot of the reason, probably the main reason for the Kennedy hit.
Oh, yeah, yeah, right. That is absolutely one of the top reasons for him getting iced, is his objection to and his you know, attempted prevention of having Israel obtain nuclear weapons. And then there's also a story that I've heard several times that Israel has some kind of nuclear device in one of their in their New York embassy or consulate, that high levels of radiation have been detected near the building, and that seems to me a kind of
they'll unleash it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, they probably have things like that set up in key cities all around the world.
Oh yeah, suitcase nukes, you name it. I mean, these people, they will take the whole world down with them. You know, if they don't get their way,
Which is why, not that, you know, most or perhaps even any of our politicians need that anymore. They're going to kiss their hind parts anyway, but should there be any decent ones, they don't have a choice but to acquiesce because of threats like that. That's, oh, man.
Right, and then you were talking earlier about the duped masses, and, man, there's very little that is more infuriating than scanning the mainstream radio dial and hearing Hannity and Mark Levin and Limbaugh and all these mainstream conservative talk show hosts who on some issues are right on, but every single one of them line up with Israel as if Israel's more important than the United States. I mean, these guys need to be hanging from scaffolds if the tables are ever turned on this whole process. I mean, they're really traitors.
Yeah. And, you know, they can't say, oh, you're an anti-Semite. That would and should be the case with any other country. If you're talking about, I don't care who it is. If you're talking about, oh, we got to protect this, got to protect that. No, we don't have to protect any country except our own. But it's always that one, isn't it, that they're talking about?
You're absolutely right. If we said Ireland is our closest ally and we must, you know, no matter what, stand side to side with Ireland. I mean, that's ridiculous. People would have no problem with a regular citizen objecting to that kind of stance. You know, saying, well,
in time of war, yes, nations establish alliances and it's to their advantage, you know, blah, blah, blah. But in peacetime, you don't protect another nation. Ireland needs to protect Ireland. United States needs to protect the United States. None of these countries are doing this anymore. They're kissing the hind parts of that piece of crap, illegitimate real estate over there that shouldn't even exist in the first place. Oh, I'm sick of it.
And all under the illusion that country and those people are our best friends, when in fact...
Yeah. Oh, yeah, are they ever. Yeah.
Are the... They are the parasites sticking their antennae into our brains, almost literally.
Yeah.
So, anyway, Charles, keep spitting fire and brimstone.
Yeah, you bet.
Okay, take care.
Thanks, buddy. Oh, man, when you sit and think what they're getting away with. And then, oh, I got to throw this in there. All the while, you've got Bible dupes saying, well, God is going to intervene. They're not going to get away with it forever. The very one who, if you believe that thing exists, the very one who set this whole thing up this way. Oh, yeah, he's going to intervene. The very one who says, I will bring all nations before you. They will bow before you and lick the dust from the soles of your feet. That God, if you want to argue he exists, he's the one that wants the Jew world order. He inaugurated it. And you've got Bible dupes out there thinking that that same entity is going to be the one to put a stop to this? Jeez. Oh, you couldn't possibly turn your brain to mush more than that. Anyway, back to my notes here. In 1976, a military coup took place in Argentina that overthrew Isabel Martinez de Perón. Here they are at it again down in South America. One of the main reasons she had to go was that she passed a law that provided minimum wages, maximum hours, and vacations for rural workers. And yet, all the while, what does the tribe do but claim to be for workers' rights, right? And yet here was a coup to oust her because she really was for workers' rights, not the phony claims they use so they can get their frickin' revolutions going, like the Russian Revolution. She really was for fair treatment of workers. Oh, we can't have that now. In 1977, another military coup occurred in Pakistan. This time, a successful one. Army Chief General Muhammad Zia-ul-Haq overthrew the civilian government and hung Prime Minister Zulfiqar Ali Bhutto after a sham trial. Interestingly, the U.S. ambassador to India at this time, John Gunther Dean, pointed a finger at the Mossad as being behind this coup. Yes. I wonder if they killed him next. He said that Israel feared that Pakistan would develop a nuclear bomb and would share it with other Muslim nations when, all the while, as the caller just pointed out, there they were with their highly secretive nuclear program in full operation. Oh, man. I am not into bloodshed by any means. I've said before, I get very lightheaded at the sight of blood. I hate getting a blood test. I've never passed out, but I've come close to it. But I do hope I live to see the day, guys, when these SOBs get what's coming to them. I do. I want front row seats for it. I don't like violence. I don't like bloodshed. But you know what? I don't think it'll bother me to see it when it's them getting their just desserts. I will gorge myself in it. You know, there was a time I would never say something like that. Oh, no, it's wrong to take pleasure in the suffering. No, it isn't. Not when they deserve it, guys. Not when they have begged for it. Not when they have been the number one problem in our world, the cause of so much misery and devastation and suffering. I would hope that be there some innocent ones among them that they don't suffer too, I would hope. But hey, whatever, man. If that has to be the way it has to be, then that's how it's got to be. I don't want that. I know that there are some innocent ones among them, at least two or three, anyway. Yeah, I wouldn't want to see innocent people suffer, even if their names end in Bergenstein. But, guys, they need to go. They need to go. Them or us. There's no reasoning with them. There's no slapping them upside the head and getting them to mend their ways. They'll never mend their ways. I mean, we've got 3,500 frickin' plus years to tell us that. Far from mending their ways. No matter what type of lesson you try to deliver to them, like the Romans did. Romans kicked their hind parts inside out. But did it stop them? No. Just a few decades later, they're at it again with the Kitos rebellion. And a couple decade or so after that, they're at it again. They never stop. They never learn. No. If anything, they get more obnoxious, don't they? Whatever fate delivers to them one day, and I hope it does, they deserve it. Every single bit of it. And like I said, I hope I live to see the day. Unfortunately, though, guys, if we succeed in teaching them the ultimate lesson, it's going to get ugly because they're dug in real deep. The parasite has set things up so its minions can't operate on their own interest. They will defend the interests of the parasite. And they've got a lot of weapons at their disposal, so I mean, I don't want to see that. Nevertheless, though, justice has to prevail. Has to. It's got to happen. And quite frankly, guys, I'm ready to do battle myself right now. I really am. This world is already ruined. There's no future for us. So I have the attitude, you know what, bring it on, baby. And, you know, if we win, awesome. If we don't, who cares? You're not going to have anything left to rule. And that's their attitude, isn't it? We'll take the whole world down if we have to. It might very well lead to that, but at least we won't be their perpetual frickin' slaves. I'd rather see the entire human species become extinct than to live to be their hind lickers, wouldn't you? Give me liberty or give me death. I like that motto, and that's mine, too. Bring it on. I'm going to take some of you SOBs down with me, you know, if I don't survive. You're not going to survive either, some of you, anyway. In 1978, there was a communist coup in Afghanistan. This led to, you know, the Soviet occupation, which was later admitted by Mr. Zbigniew Brzezinski to have been orchestrated by himself, U.S. and Mossad intelligence agencies. Oh, yeah. Yep. In 1979, an attempted coup took place in Iran, backed by, the U.S., nod, nod, wink, wink, to overthrow the interim government, which came to power earlier that year as a result of the Iranian Revolution. This was only one in a long chain of events of U.S. And Israel-led destabilizations of this nation's internal affairs, of course. In this same year, in El Salvador, a coup was raised to remove the military force from the country's government. El Salvador, again, had been trouble early on. This was, you know, the Contras, the Sandinistas. For the next decade, guys, there was the U.S., Jew-led U.S. military wreaking, and the CIA wreaking just tremendous havoc down there. The next 10 years, you had the Salvadorian Civil War, as it was called. The U.S., again, was heavily involved in to allegedly take down the communist movement. That was always the convenient label they gave, you know, for all the Cold War conflicts. Fighting communism! Right. Anyway, in 1980... the cocaine coup, as it's called, occurred in Bolivia at the hand of CIA-backed Luis Garcia Menza Tejada. In 1981, a military coup broke out in Poland, led by Jaruzelski, who was either a Jew or at least a major Jew puppet. For example, the New York Times reported on January 1st of 1982, quote, anti-Semitic material, much of it thinly disguised, has occasionally been broadcast in Poland since martial law was imposed December 13th. General Jaruzelski, the Polish leader, has, according to reports reaching the West from Warsaw, said privately that he had issued categorical orders to ban such broadcasts. Imagine that. The people in Poland knew exactly who was behind this uprising, this coup. They were seeking to make it known, and this little Jew puppet was seeking to shut down their freedom of speech. Anyway, in 1983, 2 years later, a military coup occurred in Grenada, led by Hudson Austin, which led a counter coup and invasion with U.S. support, led to a counter coup. This operation, again, was all about thwarting the spirit of independence and progress and advancing, of course, world government, all under the phony guise of containing communism. That was the case with all the Cold War military operations. And on it goes, guys. There's been several others. You got the point. Going back to ancient times, guys, they've been behind all revolutions, all uprisings, all civil wars, all coups, you name it. In fact, you could definitely consider 9/11 as a coup, right? Not that we needed a coup, they already had control over it, but they consolidated that control. They concentrated it even more, taking away more rights, more freedoms, things like, you know, the Patriot Act, Homeland Security Act, on and on and on, on it goes, bringing us ever closer to, you know, a police state. Their fiascos are always multifunctional. There's always, multiple purposes for them. It's not just about waging war. Oh, sure, that's in there, too. Not just about making lots of money. Yeah, that's in there, too. But it's also about revamping the whole political system, rewriting, the laws, turn the nation, ultimately into a dictatorship. All of those things have occurred in the wake of 9/11 and so many other fiascos as well. Anyway, that's it for that discussion. Let's see. We only got a couple more minutes. I don't want to start another topic. I'll save that for tomorrow. Get some interesting stuff coming up. And like I said, a lot of other stuff I'm not going to be able to get to before the end of Friday's show. But if I have time on Friday, I'll go through a list of topics that I haven't had time to cover. And you can let me know if you want the notes for them. I still have hundreds of sets of notes that I haven't gotten around, but I'll save them for later. Whenever I get back, I'll pick up with that. Like I said, I'm sure I'll be working on new stuff too in the meantime when I have time. I just bought a couple new books the other night that just came out. Tex Mars just came out with a new book. That was one of them that I bought. I always buy his stuff. It's good. It's got really good stuff. I intended to get him on. I didn't get around to it. So if I get back on the airwaves somewhere down the line here in the near future, hopefully, I'll have to get him on. It's good to see he's still pushing books out, even though his health is not so good these days. I guess he's got a bad heart. Well, he's got a good heart, but a bad physical heart. Anyway, it's sad, though. He's going to... a good warrior for the cause for years on end, even though, of course, I don't share his belief in the Jew book and can't quite frankly understand. I guess I do understand. Especially as you get older, guys, your health starts to fail and you're faced with your mortality. You tend to want to cling to stuff like that more. Especially if it's always been important to you, it becomes all the more important. But I'm sorry, guys, my desire to want to have hope beyond the grave does not extend to wanting to embrace a book filled with disgusting vomit inducing philosophy, nor does it involve a desire to want to worship a fire breathing dragon that pretends to be righteous, but is in fact the greatest sinner of all. No, can't do it. I will not lower myself to such a level. I'm not that desperate for some hope to cling to. Like I said, I'd rather have no hope at all than a false hope or a hope based on belief in a dragon. Nope, no thanks. incredibly ironic, though, isn't it? You know, here's a guy that does know the score. I mean, he's written some really good stuff over the years. Covered a lot of important material on his radio show, which I've never even listened to, actually. But I used to get his, what is it, monthly or bi-monthly flyers that he sends out. Actually, I think it's one every 3 months, whatever. Anyway, I hadn't bought stuff from him for a while. Now I just buy it on Amazon. It's so much cheaper. But, you know, I used to order stuff from him, and so I would get his newsletter. And he covered in his newsletters a lot of what was on his radio show. So I know that the stuff he's talked about over the years has been, you know, really good. It just, it blows my mind, though, to see somebody so Jew-wise, and yet there they are following the Jew playbook. I like, you know, Brother Nathaniel is another example. I wouldn't even bother talking to someone like that because, number one, he's in his senior years too, like Tex. I don't want to give the poor guy a freaking heart attack. But I would be curious. If he was younger, I'd want to talk to the guy and pick his brain and say, look, buddy, what in the hell are you doing? You do a commendable job exposing the crimes of the tribe. Yep, three cheers, you know, five giggles, whatever. But how can you not see that pushing that book is still pushing their agenda? Or is that your intention? I don't know. I don't want to question the guy's sincerity. I'm not talking about Tex. I'm talking about Brother Nathaniel. I mean, he's so over the top, worse than Tex. All of his videos, there he is in his little garb, his little cross, you know. You got to wonder, man. It's just so over the top. He seems so happy-go-lucky. Everything's wonderful because I have Jesus. Oh, my God. First of all, you don't even have Jesus. You don't even know who Jesus is. You have the fancified fantasy view of Jesus, you know, the Roman Catholic version of Jesus, which isn't even the... whatever, man. Nevertheless, I would like to pick a guy's brain if he was too younger. Where the hell is your head at pushing that point? All right, guys. We'll get to one of these interesting topics. That's fine. I'll see you then. Take care.
Hosts here at Renegade Broadcasting do a great job presenting to you cutting-edge and hard-hitting content every day of the week. They do this all for free because they care about getting the truth out there and ensuring that we and future generations have a future worth living for. Our enemies have an endless supply of money to finance their operations, but we're able to work wonders working on a shoestring budget. If you appreciate a host's content, visit their archive page and find out how to support them, or even send a nice thank you note. We all appreciate it. Thank you for your consideration. Now back to the show.